Mark chapter 4. We'll try and preach on sleeping through the storm. Sleeping through the storm. Begin reading in verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of the wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, he rebuked them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? They feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And we find here the storm in Galilee, or the Galilee storm. They're in the Sea of Galilee. And we find here some scared disciples and a sleeping Lord. He was not asleep because he didn't care. That's what they suggested. Don't you care that we're about to perish? Don't you care because we're facing what we're facing? Of course, he cared. But he just knew that everything was all right. In this chaos, in all the trouble and tossing of the sea, he still knew everything's all right. In this storm, we see the quiet in the storm. Everything around him, anything but quiet, but he is quiet. He has a quiet heart. The disciples weren't quiet. Now, this storm was obvious. All he had to do was look and listen and feel. They could see the rain. They could see the waves. They could feel the wind. They could feel the water beating on them. They could hear the roar. They could probably hear the thunder. It was an obvious storm. And they were obviously afraid. But Jesus was sleeping. I want to mention first, they should have realized in verse 37, notice how it's worded. And there arose a great storm. That word arose is important. It means to become. It means it came from somewhere. Somebody might say, yeah, out there in the sea, out there in that water. No, no. You have to, Lord, listen, here's an important word. You have to look further than the sea. You have to look further than the wind. You have to look further than the weather. The storm came from God. God sent this storm. They should have realized whatever we're facing came from Him. And if it came from Him, it's going to be all right. If it came from Him, He's going to take care of us. They should have realized that it was not an accident. Now, it was real. It was a severe storm, but it didn't matter. He had sent it, and it was going to be okay. The wording of the explanation, the waves beat, and the ship was full of water. I'm telling you, humanly speaking, it was dangerous. But they should have realized, as bad as it seems to us, He sent it, so it's going to be okay. They should have realized. Verse 36, it says, And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. So He sends a whole lot of people away. And even though there are some smaller ships around, they feel like they're all alone. They feel like nobody cares. Nobody understands what they're going through. But they should have realized He knows. I mean, he's right here with us. I may feel alone, but I'm not alone. He's with me. You should realize that. And when you go through your storm, you need to realize that he sent it for a reason, and he goes with you through it. He sent the multitude away. There was something special coming, not for all of them, not for them in the other ships even, but for those disciples in that boat. It was a personal storm. It was designed for them. They should have realized that. They should have realized that he was with them. Somebody should have said, look at Jesus. Somebody should have recognized. Somebody should have realized, well, hey, the storm's all around us. And he's in the ship with us in the sea, in the storm. But look at him. He's asleep. And if he's asleep, we can rest. They should have realized, but as I've just suggested, they should have rested. They found him asleep on a pillow. The idea is a complete restful sleep, just as though it was a nice, calm night, and he's laying in bed. He's asleep. They should have rested. I'm going to tell you, hey, he's resting. He's not troubled. He's not all topsy-turvy like they are. Now, the sea was rolling and reeling and raging, but I'll tell you one thing. There's another storm going on in their mind. They were rolling and raging just like the sea. They were not resting, but they should have rested. If he can, I can. They should have realized. They should have rested. They should have relied. In verse 38, they said, carest thou not? Don't you care what's wrong? You're asleep. That to them meant he didn't care. That wasn't the case. They should have relied on him. In fact, it says that he was in the hinder part of the ship. Well, if you've ever ridden a bus or you've ever ridden a roller coaster, and had the joy of being the last one in the back seat, you know it's rougher back there than anywhere. I mean by that, his storm was rougher than them all. But he's still resting. He's still sleeping. He's not troubled. And they should have relied on him. If he, in the midst of the worst of the storm, can rest and relax and sleep, they should have thought, well, he's going to take care of it. He is asleep for a reason. It's not because he don't care. It's because he understands. It's all right. Talking about sleeping through the storm, Jesus did, or at least he would have if they left him alone. I am reminded that the storm didn't wake him, but the call of the disciples did. He hears our call. Verse 35. I say they should have realized, they should have rested, they should have relied, they should have remembered. Look in verse 35, and the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. I mean, this hasn't been years ago that he said this to them. It wasn't even last week. Honestly, it was a few minutes ago, or at the very most, an hour or two before this, that he said, let us pass over to the other side. Well, if you get into the other side, you know you ain't going down in the storm. They should have remembered that. Listen, do you hear my pause? They should have remembered that he said, we're going to the other side. If you're going to the other side, you're not going down anywhere in the middle. I'm talking about we need to realize God has taken care of our storms. Just like he rested and relaxed, completely at peace, in the middle of all this turmoil, we can also rest and relax and rely on him. But we will do that by remembering what he said. He said, I'll take care of you. I'll never forsake you. I love you. I know what you're going through. I'll walk with you. I am enough. My grace is enough. He said those things, and that's what faith is. Faith is us remembering what he said. It's not a hope in the stab in the dark. It's not just some hope in some fairy tale. Faith is me hearing what he said and believing it. And then when the storm comes, remembering that. And if he said it yesterday or 10 years ago, it's still good for today. I'm talking about sleeping through the storm. They should have watched the Savior, but they didn't. Now I want you to turn to another passage, Matthew 26, and I want to look at another storm. I'm talking tonight about sleeping through the storm. The first is the storm in Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. The second is a storm in Gethsemane. Now, the storm in Galilee, there was quiet in the storm. Jesus was quiet-hearted, trusting, relaxing, at peace. In all the turmoil, he is quiet. He's not disturbed. Now, notice in verse 36, chapter 26, let's read the verses. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and his two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. That's the key to my thought. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch and pray. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And you know he does that three times. Here is a storm. Now, the storm in Galilee, it was obvious. Everybody knew about it. All you had to do was look. But in Gethsemane, there's another storm. A worse storm. But you don't see it. There's a garden called Gethsemane that is designed for peace. Designed to get away from the hubbub of the world, to go and relax. It is a quiet place. It is a beautiful place. They went there often, and they went there to relax and to pray. But here, it is quiet everywhere, except in his heart. Now listen, the first storm is turmoil everywhere, except in his heart. This storm is quiet everywhere, except his heart. The storm of Galilee was outward, obvious. The storm of Gethsemane was inward, not so obvious. But I say the storm of Gethsemane was far worse than the storm of Galilee because of what was at stake. Jesus himself, the very Son of God, said, I am sorrowful even unto death. He did not exaggerate. He was not misspeaking. He meant what he said. There was a storm going on in the heart and the mind of Christ. And the disciples missed it. Now at Galilee, they saw the storm, and they thought Jesus was missing it. Don't you see what's going on? Look around you. Don't you care? Here, everything's quiet except the Lord and the disciples. Listen, the disciples are sleeping through the storm here. In Galilee, Jesus slept through the storm. In Gethsemane, the disciples slept through the storm. They did not see what was happening. In Galilee, they should have looked at the Savior and thought, if he is at peace, we can be at peace, and we should be at peace. In Gethsemane, they also should have looked at the Savior and said, If something is happening that's troubling him this much, we ought to be concerned. What we cannot see is still real. I'm talking tonight about sleeping through the storm. In the storm of Gethsemane, it was quiet. At Galilee, it was quiet in the storm, Jesus. At Gethsemane, it was storm in the quiet of the garden. I hope you're getting some of this. I say it again, I'll move on. The storm of Gethsemane was far worse than the storm of Galilee, but the disciples missed it all. Let me say something about the disciples at the storm in Gethsemane. Number one, the same thing as in Galilee, they should have recognized. Let me read the verses again. Verse 37. And he took with them Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Now they should have seen that. By this time they should have known, listen to me, they should have known the Lord enough to know something's wrong. They should have been with him enough by now to know there's something wrong. I have never seen him troubled again before. I have never seen him troubled. I have never seen him act this way. For the Son of God to be acting this way, something must be happening that we don't see. And it was. The devil was trying his best to kill Jesus in the garden. The devil was trying his best to stop Jesus from going to the cross. While he was in the garden, I say there was a storm going on. There was an attack from the devil, and the disciples didn't see it happening. Verse 38. Then said he, just to clear it up, in case they look at him and see his attitude and see his troubled look, and that's not enough, he tells them. Right out. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. They should have recognized something's going on. There's a battle. There's a storm that we don't see. Something is happening here that we do not see. He's never been afraid before. And he walks right through trouble like it's nothing. He's never been upset at all before, and he's been through some horrible times and hadn't bothered him a bit. He went through the storm that we talked about earlier, and he slept. When they saw him troubled, they should have recognized something is going on. And I say tonight, sometimes, I want you to listen to me, the devil's working in ways so significant, making plans that can lead to such devastation that if we aren't careful, we'll miss it. Like Peter, Jesus said, hey, Peter, the devil has desired you that he may sift you as wheat. Peter had no idea, And here, the worst storm they have ever gone through was at Gethsemane, and they didn't even know anything was going on. Remind yourself, they fell asleep. They're sleeping while the storm's going on. They should have recognized if Jesus is troubled, we ought to be troubled. If he is bothered, we ought to be bothered. They did not see the fact that the devil was setting things up, trying to do something to hinder God's will. You ever thought that maybe right now the devil is trying something in your life to set you up, to trip you up, to make you fall? I have more people on my prayer list than I care to count about used to be in church and aren't now. Somehow they didn't see the storm. And they were not alarmed or alert, and they failed. Somehow the devil tripped them, and it can happen to you. And the devil may be setting you up right now for a fall. There's a storm we might be sleeping through. They should have recognized something's going on. They should have recognized. They should have resisted. In verse 40, verse 43, and verse 45, he came back and he found them sleeping. Verse 41, he said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I want to say, I understand. They are weary, they are tired, they have run themselves to death. And now they're in the quietness of the garden, and the natural thing is to go to sleep. But it wasn't time to sleep because there's a storm going on. It wasn't time to sleep because the devil's attacking. It's time to be alert. It's time to be aware. You ever slept through a tornado? You ever slept through a hurricane? Well, you say, I've never been in one. Well, you are one, and one you won't be asleep. You don't get to sleep when you see the storm. Here's some disciples, they don't recognize there's a storm. Here's my point, they don't realize what the devil's doing. So they sleep on. They should have resisted. They should have said, listen, fellas, I know we're all sleepy. We're all worn out. But do you remember what he said? He said to watch and pray. If he said that, there must be a reason. Did you see his face? Did you see his troubled eyes? Did you hear what he said? He said he is so troubled and he's nigh unto death. They should have resisted the flesh. And I think we give in too quickly. Their weakness at that moment was weary of body and sleepy. What's your weakness? What part of your flesh does the devil attack you? How does he get to you? Some job, some romance, some money, some hobby, some recreation. I don't know what your weakness is that will keep your eyes off the storm. Let you sleep right through the storm. They should have resisted. That's why the Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's why Peter said, whom resist, stand fast in the faith. That's why Paul said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Because if we don't stand, we're going to fall. There's a storm going on. They should have recognized. They should have resisted. They should have rejoiced. In Gethsemane, the devil's trying to keep Jesus from going to the cross. And the very human part of Christ did not want to go because he saw not only the pain, but he saw the separation between him and the Father. But Jesus did not desert them. Jesus did not walk off and say, it's too much. He did not change his mind about going to the cross. He steadfastly endured that storm. And Hebrews tells us he was heard when he prayed. Those disciples should have rejoiced that he didn't just walk off. He's going through the worst storm he's faced, and they're asleep. I'm telling you one thing, I'd be tempted to say, so long, fellas. But then I think of the times he should have deserted me. When I've done dumb stuff, I failed him, I didn't stand. He should have just said, so long, Rick. But he stuck with me. They should have rejoiced. And so I close with this. In both occasions, Galilee and Gethsemane, their problem was they didn't watch the Savior. Galilee and all the storm, they should have watched him. And they could have had his rest. On the other hand, at Gethsemane, in all that peaceful time, restful time, such a good time to take a nap, they should have watched him and thought, oh, wait a minute, fellas, there's something going on. There's a storm we don't see. He's battling something we don't see. So in both cases, they should have watched the Savior. And friend, that's exactly what he said. Verse 41, watch. Our spiritual eyes need to be opened. Because if we ain't careful, we'll sleep through the attack of the devil.
And by the time we recognize what he's doing, he's already done it, and we've fallen. We've gone too far. Said the wrong thing, did the wrong thing, made the wrong move, and we fail. Need to watch the Savior. Watch what the devil's doing. Watch what he's doing. Don't be sleeping through your storm. Watch what he's doing. Be alert to the devil's plans and what he's trying to do. One of the necessities of being a victor is knowing your enemy, knowing their strategy, knowing what they're doing. So we need to first watch. That's what he said. And our lives are so busy, we're so preoccupied with everything else in the world, if we aren't careful, we'll miss what the devil's doing. He wants to distract us where we can't see it. That's what happened in Gethsemane. And not only do we need to watch, but we need to pray. That's what he said. Watch and pray. And I don't think he means, and I don't mean praying and asking for what we want, even what we need. I don't think he's talking about praying for stuff. Even though he tells us to pray for stuff and promises he'll answer the prayers that we pray for stuff. I don't think that's what he's talking about. I think he's talking about spending time with him, praying, getting close to him, in that time of fellowship, that time of spending time with him, getting away from the world. And as we spend that time with him and we get closer to him and more acquainted with him, he tells us things he would not tell us otherwise. Did you notice? Of the 12, there's only 3 that got invited to the closeness. There's a reason for that. They weren't favorites. They needed to see something. And the thing of prayer, I'm convinced he is saying, we need to spend enough time with him and commune with him and be close to him to where we can be sensitive to him. Because if we are, he'll show us what we would not otherwise see. We will see what the devil is trying to do. The Holy Spirit will illuminate, will open our eyes, and he will say, don't you see what the devil's doing? It's not time to sleep through the storm, not on this one. We need to pray. Need to watch, you need to pray. And he'll, as we're spending time with him, I'm telling you, listen, I was praying the other day, and once again, I said, Lord, I don't even know what to say. And he said to me, do what you tell others to do. And I said, Lord, help me pray. And suddenly all the burden of praying for the exact right thing and saying the exact right words left me. And just words started coming. That's the kind of communion I'm talking about. He said, pray. Not just ask and get, but spend time. This takes some time. Commune with him. Get close to him. Be sensitive to him and his voice. And then as we do that, he will show us what we need to see and warn us about what the devil's doing and alert us to the storm we don't even see. They were sleeping through the storm. And also, he not only will alert us to the devil's attack, but he'll give us grace to make it through and not fall. That's what prayer will do. Spending that time with him, it'll help us to keep from doing the wrong thing and help us to do the right thing. We face storms like Galilee. Our whole world feels like it's coming unglued, and he wants us to look at him and say, it's going to be all right. I got it under control. But then you flip that coin over, and there's storms in our lives right now. We don't even recognize it. And he's saying, I want you to open your eyes. I want you to see. that it is time now to watch and pray while you can, before it's too late, before you fall, before the devil gets the upper hand. Well, I'm done. Let's stand together.